Good morning.
Good
to see you. Let me say welcome to any of you that are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. And it is indeed good to be here. Appreciated Dave leading some songs that had to do with praise, as that was our topic of prayer study this week. I hope that you've enjoyed that. You know, every day as I've looked and done mine, it's helped me grow a little bit, and I really appreciated Carl's ability to verbalize his praise. You know, so sometimes when I pray in public, I get really nervous, and it's a real personal thing with God, you know, and I clam up, and I can't say that. Well, God just kind of worked through Carl this morning, and we're lifting God up is what we're doing. So praise be to God.
Amen.
Tonight, we're going to do something really good. We're going to have a real short service. Dave, I'm sorry we forgot to talk to you about this. Like 5 minutes long. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time doing two things. We're going to be discussing the prayer, the praise and adoration of prayer that we've worked in our workbooks. That discussion time, I think, is going to be really good. And the second thing we're going to do is... we've been listening to the church, especially the elders, and they know that we keep hearing that, hey, you know, we just don't feel like we're included in this PFG thing, you know, kind of the way we've been doing it doesn't seem to work for some reason. So tonight, half the time is going to be me asking you as a research project for, since I have the evangelism part of Planning for Growth, I'm going to be asking you publicly for ideas on that. So maybe be thinking about that. We're going to see how that goes tonight. Want to let you know where our youth is this morning. This is not all of them. They left the building yesterday at 10:30 in the morning going to Marshalltown to the youth rally. They stopped and picked up two or three more along the way. So that's a good thing that our youth are involved in, and we're glad to see them involved in that. Is there anything else I need to say before we get going? That's it. How many of you have ever just went out and took a walk in the rain? It's kind of with an umbrella, I hope. You notice we got a clicker today. I'm still getting used to that. Yeah, we go out for a walk sometimes when it's raining, and you know, we grab the old umbrella and it's just really cool. But what about this? Have you ever been there? Have you ever just got soaking wet? God kind of just, can you hear me? God kind of puts different things in a person's life that's preaching, you know, and sometimes he just puts examples before us. And a couple of weeks ago, I got this example, and I want to relate it to you. We were leaving Covenant Hospital one morning around 10 o'clock. We went to see Gene Kelly, and it was pouring outside. Rain, not just rain, it was pouring. And thank goodness my wife had an umbrella and we were crowded under, you know, trying to stay dry. But you know how it is. You still, pant legs get wet and all that. We're leaving the parking lot and the most incredible thing I have ever seen in my life happened. I'm not going to ask you to guess because you couldn't guess. What, on the west side of Covenant, as you're leaving, there's kind of a park there, maybe a drainage ditch, a big thing, area of park. And there's a sidewalk that comes down through there. And we're leaving, and it's cold, and it's pouring, and here comes a man walking down the sidewalk. Nothing wrong with that, right? This guy doesn't have an umbrella. He is getting drenched. As we got a little closer, He had something in his hand. Can anyone guess what was in his hand? Not just an umbrella. He had a closed umbrella in his hand. And he was this drenched. I have been racking my brains all week to figure out what was going on with that. I searched the internet high and low for a person drenched holding an umbrella, and guess how many pictures I found? None. So you have to envision in this picture that this person getting totally wet has got a closed umbrella in their hand, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out why someone would be out in the freezing, cold, pouring, drenching deluge of rain with a closed umbrella in his hand. But brethren, I want to suggest to you that we do this spiritually sometimes. Sometimes we have the very tool that we need to grow spiritually at hand, and we're not willing to use it. Okay? So, having said that, let me say this. This morning I'm going to be talking about the elders, okay? Why we need elders and that whole reasoning. Well, I'll tell you why that I'm going to be talking about that. We have, on Monday nights, and that just ended until after the first of the year, but we've had leadership training classes. And one of those classes kind of caught me off guard a little bit, but I was so excited to be reminded of it. It talked about the church's responsibility to the leaders. And in particular, I want to talk about this morning, to the eldership. Okay? The church's responsibility to the eldership. Now, I've got a little red dot drawn on my road map here. I'm not for sure what it is. Oh, yeah. If these guys would have known, I was going to put a picture of them up here this morning, they'd have crawled under the pew. But these guys are, they're our elders. They're our shepherds. I wanted to put that up there for anybody that might not know. If they'd have known I was going to put that up there, they'd have killed me. They'd be embarrassed. But you know what? This is not embarrassing. We're not going to be glorifying the elders this morning. We're going to be glorifying God. So let's start with a question. Oh, isn't that a great clicker? I don't know this guy, but I saw him on the internet and I thought, he's really thinking hard. Does the church need elders? How many of you have ever been to a church without elders? Raise your hand. If you want to know why the church needs elders, go talk to these people after church, and they'll let you know. Specifically, I'll give you my account. I grew up in a church without elders. Well, I really don't even want to talk about it. My dad didn't go to church, and Mom decided that I needed to go to the men's business meetings. Are you all familiar with these? Maybe you just call them business meetings, whatever. I'm not sure if Mom thought I needed the growing experience or she wanted to know what was going on. One of the two. When I was 14, I went and sat in men's business meetings. As a 14-year-old Christian, I sat and listened to men cuss at each other. Men get up and stomp off mad. That's a good picture. But it adequately describes what I sat and observed as a youth going to a men's business meeting. Now, what you know what I'm going to do? So y'all don't have to sit there and look at that crazy picture. I'm going to back up one. So, you know what we did in the men's business meeting? We collectively got all the men together, and we tried to make spiritual decisions. And you know what we used? The vote. How many of you have taken a church vote? Okay. So a bunch of us get in there and we listen to this. But you know, it's not just that simple. Whatever we were talking about, we would have a vote, right? Oh, but it's not that easy. Before the vote, the preacher or some of the leading men would give their opinion so that everyone would know how to vote. So it didn't matter how you wanted to vote. You kind of had to go with, you know, what was kind of being... You're laughing because you know this is true. Is there anything wrong with that? On this one occasion, I'm going to beg to differ. What's wrong with a bunch of folks getting together and making spiritual decisions for the church. What is going to be a part of that? Ultimately, you're going to get some folks that are not spiritual making spiritual decisions. You're going to get folks that are willing to curse at each other trying to make spiritual decisions, right? And it is not godly because God tells us in Acts chapter 14, verse 23 specifically, we see on Paul's first missionary journey trip that Paul and Barnabas did what? They appointed elders in every church, right? And Paul tells Titus in chapter 1 and verse 5 to appoint elders in the church. Why? I want you to know something, church. This church is extremely blessed because you have shepherds. You have elders. I hope that you can remember to a time when you didn't have elders, because it is an awesome blessing. It's expected by God, but it is an awesome blessing that we have to have elders. And we're going to talk more about why. Okay, we got to get past the hothead. Okay. The church needs elders because. Where's Ron Burke? Ron Burke jumped all over this morning, and that's great because it's a good thing. The church needs elders, and I want to give you two sets of reasons why the church needs elders, okay? The first set of reasons are bound up in the definitions for the word elder. In the New Testament, there are three Greek words that are used interchangeably in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and 28, to describe the same man, the same people. So why would the New Testament authors use three different words to describe the same man? Because there's more than one function of an eldership, okay? So the first thing that an elder is a poimen. Wrong. That's the order that Ron used. I've got my own order. Well, same words, but I want to say presbyteros is the first Greek word. Presbyteros is the word elder, and it defines the dignity of age. I use the words wisdom of age. If we read the qualifications later, we're going to see that an elder not be a new convert, but here, by Greek definition, the elder is an older person. Someone that has the wisdom of age. And Richard shaking his head saying, I'm not older, but you are older, brother. Someone that has a little bit of age and wisdom on them. You know, how many times do you remember a time when you were younger and you tried to make this big decision in your life and you had no experience to base that decision on? All of us can remember that, right? Well, in the elders, we have this idea of presbyteros, which means they're older and wiser and they've got some life experiences that substantiate their thinking. Wow. Sounds like a plus to me, doesn't it, to you? I hope so. Second word is episkopos, and it means overseer or bishop. Elders get kind of nervous if you call them bishop because they're not used to it, you know. But the word is oversight. It has to do with the idea of being a superintendent. Anybody know what being a superintendent's all about? Superintendent of any project is a man that's able to see the whole picture, able to organize how things fit together in the picture, and to keep an oversight, a management of the big picture. Elders are good managers of the soul. Spiritually speaking, they are able to teach, they understand God's word, and they are wise, and they are good overseers. Is that a plus? That's a big plus. And the last thing is that they are a poimen. And a poimen is the Greek word, that has to do with shepherding. Okay? Also a pastor. Now how many of you, this is a good, perfect time for me to tell you I'm not a pastor. Because by Greek definition, pastor is an elder. I'm a minister, and so I just want to plug that in, because when people say that, I don't correct them, you know, but this is a good spot. The elders are shepherds. They're out in the pasture, gently loving and guiding the flock. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful that we have that? I think so. So by definition here, we have elders as wise, as good managers, and as good guides. That is such a plus. But we want to take a step further, and I don't think I've got a slide holder here, so I'm just going to stop on my PowerPoint there. Second part of this is, the church needs elders by their qualifications. 1 Timothy and Titus gives us the qualifications for elders. And I'm going to read some of those off and give you some applicable meaning behind them so that you might get a better understanding. First of all, the elder is to be blameless, without reproach. In other words, there's nothing that an adversary could seize upon to make a charge against an elder. He's lived his life in such a way that he is sincere, he's honest, he's upfront. I didn't say that he doesn't make mistakes, okay? But he lives a life without reproach. He is the husband of one wife. In other words, he's good at having relationships. Then he is temperate. That means he's patient. He doesn't have a short fuse. Well, I can learn something from that sometimes, especially when you're driving behind somebody who just won't get out of the way. But you know, the elders are men that are temperate, self-controlled, people that are able to manage themselves well, people that are respectable, they live a good life, they're hospitable, they're friendly, they're able to teach, that is, they know God's Word. They're not given to drunkenness. Now this is true, isn't it, guys? Okay, yes. They're not given to drunkenness. In other words, they're sober-minded. They keep a clear thought, and they don't get out here and get self-indulged in something that will take them away from God. They're not violent, but they are gentle. They are not quarrelsome. That gives us the idea that they work for solutions. That's a good thing. Not a lover of money. I put here, they see that the true value exists in a person. Manages his own house well. Elders are good leaders. And not a recent convert. Elders are men of experience. Now we're ready for the next slide. Elders' effectiveness depends on us to a certain degree. Any elder of any church across our brotherhood will tell you that them being able to do their job effectively depends upon the church's response to them. Is the church supportive of them? Is the church trusting in them? Is the church backing what they're doing? Or is the church an obstinate, resistant people who question and cause confusion at every point for the shepherds? And you know what? It's easy to get there. But the reason I bring this up is these shepherds that we have here, they have been groomed and modeled in your presence for years. A lot of them grew up right around here. They've been raised in Sunday school classes. They represent a substantial investment by the brotherhood. And they represent God's gift to us, okay? Because we need guidance. So I want you to think about, in the upcoming weeks, months, years, that we have a responsibility to the eldership. Now, we're going to talk about exactly what that responsibility is next. But I just want to reiterate the point that their effectiveness really depends on our willingness to work with them and to use them. Interesting thing been happening lately. I've seen a great number of you, the church members, coming to the elders and saying, help. Isn't that a great thing? Because isn't that what they're there for? They're an asset to us. So I've been seeing that and I've been encouraged by it. Okay, our responsibility to the eldership, point number one, is to know them. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate, the word here is know, those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. We are supposed to know them. You know, it's kind of interesting because I'll confess to you that the last time I worked here a long time ago, I didn't do a real good job of getting to know people. Oh, I knew you, but I didn't really get to know you. So a few of you I did, but you know, it's easy to just kind of walk by, how you doing, Diane? Good, how do you do? Fine. And relationship will stay at that level. You know how it is. We get that away sometimes. Well, God tells us to know them. To get to know them. The elders cannot effectively shepherd you if you don't get to know them. Get in their lives. Know where the bathroom's located in their house because you've been there and you want to be a part of their lives. Know their strengths. Know their weaknesses. Know their sincerity. Get to know them. And also in this verse, we also understand the responsibility of the membership to recognize their authority. Now, see, we don't want to say that anybody has authority over us, right? The Scripture says that that's true. But you know, how many times have you known someone who said, I don't care if the elders are over me or not. I don't have to do what they say. Just sound like a little kid, you know. Church members do that sometimes. When we are willing to know the elders and recognize their authority over us, we will be in a place to grow spiritually. Point number two. We got changed to Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Says, remember those who lead you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So I put up here, remember. The word in the Greek means this literally. To look to them with feeling. Be sensitive and understanding to the elders. You know, I noticed one thing, and sometimes we don't know because we're just not there. You know, the guys that serve as elders and shepherds among us, they work a lot of hours doing it. We don't have a clue sometimes of how many countless hours of their family life they give up to serve. They get discouraged. Oh, an elder can't get discouraged, right? Because he's really spiritual. No, they get discouraged. And they need us to be sensitive to them and encouraging. Because elders are able to make mistakes. They're able to get discouraged sometimes. And sometimes even depressed. Because their load is great. So here we're told to remember them, to look to them with feeling. And in the same verse, we're told to consider the result of their conduct. Now, you know, Ward came forward here last Sunday. We talked about speech, and he said he'd come down front and he said, you know, I need to work on that. I need to make sure that my speech is where it needs to be, and I can do a better job of that. He was saying, you know what? I admit a fault in my life. Elders make mistakes. Elders sin just like the rest of us. But here we're told to consider the outcome of their life. Ward having difficulty in one spot in his life does not make the total package. The total package, I gotta talk about somebody else so I don't embarrass you. Brother X over here that's an elder, the total package is he's lived his life in such a way that's loving and kind and centered and focused on God that we give our trust to them. It doesn't say that we expect them to be blameless, We do expect them to be without reproach, but it doesn't say that we expect them to be sinless, okay? But we consider the total package of their lives, and that is important. Also in this verse, it says to imitate their faith. We talk about imitating their faith. We see guys with lots of wisdom, shepherding skills, overseer management skills. We see these guys, and insofar as they are following Jesus, we are to imitate their faith because their faith is imitating that of Christ. Okay? Now, we said a while ago that elders goof up and sin sometimes too. So let's just be careful and let's think about it in this way. Have you been out on the interstate going through the construction? We've all been through construction. And you get behind a big semi that's carrying, you know, fly ash or gravel or something. It's got a big sign on the back. What's that big sign say? You're right, I guess. I think I'm hearing you say, do not follow this vehicle into the construction area. In other words, I recognize this vehicle, and if it's going to veer off the path, I don't follow it. So we have to keep it in our mind that we're following the leaders, we're imitating their faith insofar as they imitate that of Christ. So see, as I look around to the shepherds and some past shepherds that are sitting here, I understand that I can look to these guys' life and I can say, hey, this guy is really good at this. He really imitates Jesus in this area, and I'm really going to follow that. I'm going to try to imitate that in my life to please God. This elder here may say, hey, he may be a good person that is not quick to anger, somebody that's extremely patient. That's a strong point, and I can imitate that in my life. This shepherd may be this way, this shepherd. We have a lot of different abilities among our elders, and we're supposed to imitate their faith as they imitate the Lord's. Then we go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 that says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Obey. Oh boy. We don't want to obey. We grew up having to obey our parents, right? And the thing about becoming an adult is we don't have to mind anybody, right? We're growing up. Well, maturity always helps us understand there's always the fact we've got to be obedient to someone, right? God tells us here to be obedient to our leaders. The word here means specifically to persuade oneself to believe. I think, if I've understood this correctly, the idea here in obedience to the eldership is to persuade ourselves to believe and trust in the fact that God appointed them, that God is directing them, and place our assurance and our faith in those men as long as they are following the Scripture. So the idea of obedience really has to do in a big way with having trust in someone, assured that their life pattern is one that would lead you in a good direction spiritually. You know, when we're supposed to be focusing in on spiritual growth. If a man is unwilling to place his obedience under the eldership of the church, he's just out for himself. And haven't we all been there to some degree before? Have you ever been stubborn and obstinate? I have. But you know what? Just because I'm the pulpit minister here, but I place myself under the leadership of this church. I am obedient to the elders here. And that's important for me for my spiritual growth. Because otherwise, what am I going to do? I'm just going to dictate my own path. And when we're willing to be a part of that, spiritual growth comes. And also in that same verse, we see the idea of submission. And the word here in the Greek lends to the idea of willingness. Submit to me, wife. We've all said that jokingly to our wives, or maybe not. We'll work on that one later. Well, okay. The idea here is willingness. You've looked at the idea of an elder. You've looked at what they do. You've understood their appointment by God, and you place yourself under them willingly. Oh, brothers and sisters, when we do that, we can grow spiritually. Otherwise, we're cutting our nose off to spite our face. And the last one, let me stop on submission here for a minute. Because the Greek word adds a little bit more to the picture. It has a meaning of laying no obstacles. You ever kind of get upset at somebody? How many people in here get upset at other people? Everybody raise your hand. Okay. Sometimes we get upset at other people, and sometimes we try to make things hard on them. Been there, haven't you? Now you see everybody's grinning. Everybody's looking down right now and grinning. The idea here with the eldership is to not lay any unnecessary obstacles in front of their path. Their work is difficult enough. Their work keeps them up late at night. Sometimes all night. I know because they call me sometimes late at night. So we don't want to lay anything unnecessary. That doesn't mean that we don't want to take our problems to them. But the trifles of life that sometimes we just like to argue about, God kind of gives us the idea to keep that stuff away. Don't be causing problems just to cause problems. And sometimes, you know, we really need to think about it so we're not doing that. Because we can all be subject to that. And the last one is, do not receive an accusation against an elder. Now, let's go read that so that we are very clear on that. 1 Timothy 5 and 19. Because I didn't state it in its fullness. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 19 says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. It does not say, do not make an accusation against an elder. Because if you don't think an elder can ever go bad or get bad or is bad, and I'm talking about spiritually speaking, you're wrong. How many of us through our life experiences have seen men serving as an elder that should not have been serving as an elder? It happens from time to time. The idea here is do not receive a frivolous objection against an elder except that it's substantiated by the mouth of two or three witnesses. In other words, it's not just me and my opinion, but you know, kind of the whole group of us is seeing a problem here. Okay? So, how many of you, and I don't want you to show your hands, but I'm thinking about at another church I was at, how many of you have had someone come to you and make an accusation against an elder just one-on-one? Probably a lot of us. I've had that happen to me. And you know, Paul's telling Timothy here, no, don't entertain such garbage. When someone comes to you to do that, don't just be ugly to them, but say, hey, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about this and that. Let's discuss some spirituality here. Now, if the whole church says, hey, we're having problems with an elder here, the church definitely has a right to get with that elder and make the adjustments necessary. But the concept here is don't receive meaningless junk about an elder, because you know what? I can tell you this as a minister. Not everyone always agrees with me. And that's okay. Now, if it's 80% of the people not agreeing with me, I get really, honestly serious about that. I get serious even if one person doesn't. I think about it. And that's really what we need to be doing. So, don't receive an accusation against an elder. A frivolous, you know, objection. I think church ought to be starting at 9:10. And those elders just don't agree with me. You know, people argue about junk like that. That's what I'm talking about, folks. We got to be careful about what we're saying because it affects the effectiveness of our shepherds. worthy of honor. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 and 18, talking about the idea of being worthy of a double honor, and especially, I think, talking about the idea of worthy of pay when they're committed to the full-time service of the Lord. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that the elders are worthy of honor. I think the concept is that we recognize their value. We recognize their value. We're not going to put them up on some pedestal and worship them. I'm not remotely suggesting that you do that. But I am asking you to consider their value. And oftentimes, don't we just kind of get so busy with life? You know, most of the church does not understand all the things the elders do because they do a lot of things behind the scene that they can't tell you about. A lot of counseling is personal. A lot of personal counseling is of the nature that they can't get up and say, hey, we're counseling with such and such this week. It's private. They do so many things behind the scene. They are looking out for our souls. And that is deserving of respect, that God may be glorified. And the last point is, they keep watch for your souls. As one, Hebrews 13 and verse 7, as one that will have to give an account for you. Now I want to ask you a question. Besides the eldership, look around you. Travis? No, that might be another area. Carl, on the day of judgment, are you going to have to give an account for Russ? No, in what we're talking about. But as a brother's keeper and as a responsible brother to each other, yes. But the elders here are going to have to give an account for this church, for this body of believers, for your soul. They're going to have to stand before God, and God is going to say to them, Ward, what about Sam Giddings? Sam was over there hurting and you didn't go to him. Well, that's pretty serious, isn't it? The role of an elder is very, very, very important. These men have taken on the service of God with some possibilities of getting some harm because they're so busy. So many things come into the picture. Do you ever forget something? Ward, Richard, Glenn's not here. Yeah, you forget things. But you're going to be held accountable for them. What kind of person would subject themselves to that on my behalf? These guys. Would you think real seriously about it before you took that role on? Yes, we would. The whole point of my lesson is really easy this morning. Oftentimes we stand out in the spiritual reign of life while Satan is pounding us with cold freezing rain, and we have the very thing in our hands to protect us and help us, and it's the elders. And very few times do we go to them and say, I just need help. I'm intimidated. I've heard that this week. I've heard that from a member of this church this week. I'm scared to go to the elders. Excuse me? The most loving, kind men on the face of the planet? Installed by God and you're afraid to go to them? Haven't we been there all before? Been a little timid? Don't want to discuss my problems with somebody else? Oh, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to understand that you have an eldership in your hands here. They're not perfect, but they are established by God in love. And as far as I know, each one of these men that serve as elders are loving and open to changing anything they're doing wrong. Get your umbrella out, your spiritual umbrella. Use your eldership. Get down and pray with them. Ask them for some guidance. They've got all this wisdom of age and years and this spiritual maturity to at least help you on the right path. So don't stand and get drenched. You're not out there alone. You have help. Use it. I intend to. I think that's it. I think that is it. So this morning, as we open the invitation to you, I want you to consider doing something. I want you to consider coming down front, or consider not coming down front. Consider just going to a shepherd where they sit, one here and one back there, or some past shepherds that are very spiritual. Just go over and scoot them over and sit down and start praying. Tell them you're struggling with something. They don't have to get up and make an announcement about it. Tell them to come see you later so that you can grow spiritually. Because otherwise we just get stuck in a rut and we're not growing. And when we're not growing, Satan is having an effect on us. Matter of fact, we'll just ask the elders just to go ahead and come on down front. And if you have something you need to discuss with these guys, we'll just sing till we're out of songs and give you the opportunity to do that as we stand and sing.